I'm glad to have the DS with us this morning. I know it's when he told me, he said he was coming, and I was excited about that. And he said, but I would like for you to go ahead and preach. And that kind of puts a guy on the spot, you know, because he's like, okay, I get, you know, critiqued here, you know. I got to do a good job this morning, you know. And I prayed about it, but you know, God has really given me comfort in a lot of times in my life where as long as I'm preaching Jesus, it's okay. It doesn't matter where I'm at or who I'm preaching to, whether I'm preaching to this church or another church or to the Baptist church or to a Pentecost church, or no matter where I'm at, or whether I'm out at Walmart telling somebody about Jesus, as long as Jesus was in me, I am going to preach. And so I just say, Lord, you know, you take control of me. You give me the strength. You're the source of all strength. You are the Word. So I just leave it in your hands. I just let loose of myself this morning. And I get excited thinking, you know, we're in this Advent season, this anticipation of Christmas. And, you know, I know that the young kids, they get so excited, you know, about what's to come. And as it gets closer, you know, we're a week out from Christmas, or a little over a week out. And I know that every time they walk by the Christmas tree and they see the presents under there, they're like, I wonder what's in it. There's that anticipation. You know, I had that today. All morning I've been thinking about the potluck. Really. And, you know, I love potlucks. I really do. I love to eat. I don't really look like it, but I love it because I think about all the good foods, because we like to eat, don't we? We love the taste of food. And I'm thinking about the ham, you know, and the green bean casserole and the corn and the beans and the potatoes and the salad. I'm thinking about all these things because I've had them before and I know how they taste, you know. And I know the ladies, they do such a good job. And then, you know, I think about all the food, and then I think about the desserts, you know, the pie. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, my anticipation was that Sister Emily was going to bring her coconut pie. You know, that I'm hoping, you know, but I got a little prophecy this morning because I saw Terry carrying it in. Little revelation there. So I'm, you know, that anticipation's growing, you know. So I'm getting more excited, you know, about what's to come. Are you following me this morning? I know I'm talking about food, but that what's to come, you know. And I know it's been told to me that we're going to have the potluck, and actually I get to go down there and smell all that food, you know, and I get hungry. So this hunger is burning inside of me. I'm hungry. I know I'm starting to make you guys hungry too, right? And you know, but I know this, that the only thing that's going to satisfy me is when I take in what's been foretold, right? So when I take that in, that's the only thing that's going to bring peace to my stomach. And last week we talked about peace, but the only thing that's going to bring peace to me is when I get to eat that piece of pie, right? And the only thing that's going to bring us peace is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And this morning, we're on joy, and this should be a joyous time of the year. And I know sometimes it's not always a happy time, but where do we find joy in unhappy times? And let me pray before I start. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, not only for your mercy and your grace, but thank you for my salvation. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've given me, the family that you've given me. Thank you for that. Lord, I just want to honor you this morning. So, Lord, just remove anything from me that might hinder your word from being spoken. Lord, just take it all away. Lord, let your word be heard this morning. Lord, just open up the hearts and minds of these people that are here this morning, and let us hear your word, receive your word, and let us leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Throughout the Old Testament, God calls His people to be joyful. And in Deuteronomy, God talks about tithing. And it says in Deuteronomy 26:11, "Then you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you, has given to you and to your household." You know, this verse is a command from God. It's a command that we should rejoice in Him. But it also is a recognition of the relationship between God and us and God and joy. When we take time to reflect on what God has done for us and offer Him our very best in time and in effort and in skills and in gifts, the response is always in our soul is joy, because God blesses us with joy. And, you know, biblical joy is different than what most people think of as joy. You know, it's not just a happy emotion. It's just not about the new cars and the new house or those things that bring happiness to us. You know, sometimes we put it in people. And I say this often. We can be happy at times, you know, in our even in our family or in our marriage, but sometimes there are those unhappy times in our life. But that shouldn't affect our joy, because if we're serving Christ, that joy is still within us. Even though that outward happiness, see, there's an outwardness, which is happiness, and an inwardness is where joy is. Sometimes it's not about what we feel like we want to do or feel like we don't want to do. It's a state of understanding that the source of our joy comes only from God. The Bible is clear about it, where it comes from. And in Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, 9 and 10, our joy, you can read there, our joy is a product of what God has done and continues to do in our lives. It is gladness and contentness flowing out of a wellspring of God's faithfulness and mercy. Independent of our circumstances. God's joy really is independent of the things that we're going through in our life. And I know that we go through things in our life. Sometimes we go through sickness. Sometimes we go through tragedy in our family. We go through things in life that we sometimes cannot control. But it's independent from the joy that God brings in our life. In Psalms 96:11 and 13, it says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth, and He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples of His faithfulness." Isaiah declares this in Isaiah 49:13. "Sing for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted His people, and all will have compassion on them in their sufferings." You know, sometimes we go through things, but through all that we go through, we still can rely on the peace that God brings, because He brought hope and peace, and He'll give you joy in your life. That's one thing we can count on, no matter what we're going through in our life. You know, God's people had joy because they anticipated a time when the promised Messiah would come. And you know, I know that at that time, thousands of years ago, they were going through, man, they were in a rough place in their life. I mean, everything was difficult. I mean, they had 90% tax rates. That's we understand that living in Illinois, right? But, you know, it was a time where there was seemed like no peace anywhere they turned. There was uncomfortable living. I mean, everything was stressful. They were living in a world of discomfort. But they held on to this hope. They held on to this promise that God gave. They held on to it. Even when they hadn't heard from the prophets in hundreds of years, they held on to it. And they believed that one day a Messiah would come and He would bring peace and joy to everyone. Amen. Man, that's what this season's all about. This anticipation for that, for this Messiah to come. And in Isaiah 35:10, it says this: those who have been ransomed by the Lord will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. You know, their faith in God, the promise that God had gave them meant that even in sorrow, they would have joy in their life. And in Habakkuk 3:17 and 18, it says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on their vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He's saying, no matter what, no matter if I'm sick, no matter if the harvest doesn't come, no matter if the lights get shut off, no matter if the water gets cut off, no matter if the car payment didn't get made, no matter what, I still will rejoice in the Lord and my salvation. Amen. It's not about the situation that you're in. It's about the Savior that you believe in. Amen? It's about what joy He gives. I praise God that I'm saved. I praise God that I'm saved. That's something to just be joyful about, right? Not just part of the time, but all of the time. Today our joy is anchored in the knowledge that God fulfilled His promise. And with the advent, more than half over, more than that, we're almost through it. Our joyful anticipation of Christmas is coming to a head. It's easy to be filled with rejoicing when we think about maybe the presents that we're going to get. But the angel said this in Luke 1:11, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." You know, it's more important to remember that the joy we have in Christ is not just seasonal. It's not just to be joyful this time of year. It's not just to be giving this time of year. It's not just to have peace this time of year. It's every day of our lives. Every morning when you get up, it's joy. Every night when you go to bed, it's joy in your heart. It's peace in your heart because you know the Savior has come and He has delivered you. Amen? Amen. Like the joy of the ancient Israelites, our joy is a response to what God has already done and continues to do in our lives. Man, I am so glad. I say it again. I'm so glad that right here in this church, I knelt right there. And I say this over and over, and I mean it, because I can still see the teardrops on the altar and my fingernail prints right there where I gave my heart to the Lord. Right here. And it's a special place to me because it reminds me of what God did for me. Man, if you're saved this morning, that ought to make you jump up and shout. Because if do you remember the day that you gave your life to the Lord? Do you remember that day, that joy that He gave you in your heart? That peace that was given to you because now you realize that the sins that you had committed are completely wiped away. There's no more guilt. There's no more shame. There's peace in your life.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I never want to forget that. I never want to forget what He has done for me. It's not about my situation and it's not about my happiness. Because what He did and it's done. And that will never change.
Amen.
When Christ came and dwelt among His people, He was their rabbi and He was their teacher. He taught them about God's love and urged them to remain in Him, saying this in John 15:11. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And Paul encouraged the Colossians this in Colossians 1:12, saying, may you be filled with joy always, thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. You know, it's the kind of joy grounded in thankfulness. And in this first advent, the first advent of Jesus, from that time and looking forward towards His second coming. That's what we look forward to. That's what our anticipation is. Because we know now after He's come, what He did for us. And now we have this anticipation now of Him coming again. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. To that day He brings that where it talks about no more sorrow, no more pain, no more all that, no more death that we don't have to deal with, no more sickness. We don't have to deal with any of that anymore. That's an anticipation. I look forward to that. I hope you believe that today. I hope you believe that today. I hope when you leave here today, you leave here with joy in your heart. That because you know in your heart, you have that knowledge in your heart that God saved you. And that one day He's going to come back. Man, He's going to come back in a mighty way. And I look forward to that. Hearing the trumpet sound and seeing Him break through the clouds. Isn't that a wonderful vision to see?
Amen.
What a wonderful thing to think about. Mm-hmm. You know, today our joy is fueled by the Holy Spirit. And it's what God uses to spread His joy throughout the world. You know, He told us, He said, He commanded us, He said, you go into all the world. Go into all the world preaching and teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go. We're fueled by the Holy Spirit to do so, to bring joy. There's no, when this time of year they play a lot of movies, the grumpy old men, stuff like that. There's no grumpy old Christians. There shouldn't be. I remember what Rob McCorkle said. He said he talked to a person and they were just stern and grouchy about what they were talking about. You remember that, Mark? Well, I'm joyful, they said. I'm joyful. I just love it. And Rob said, well, somebody needs to tell your face. That's funny, but it's so true because our joy comes from the Lord. And our, you know, Mother Teresa said this, joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. Man, Can I say that again?
Amen.
Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. A joyful heart is the inevitable result of the love of Christ living within you.
Amen.
Fueled by the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants His church to be like. That's what He wants His people to be like. Full of joy. And you know, I think about Paul and Silas when they were in prison and they were in the bottom of the dungeon and they were locked in chains and they were beat and they were bleeding, but yet they were praising the Lord because it wasn't about the circumstance. It wasn't about where they were. It wasn't about their happiness. It was about the joy that was inside of them that continued to come out of them because they couldn't help it. Because the Spirit was living within them. That's the joy of the Lord. No matter where you're at and what you're going through, it's what comes out of you because what comes out of you is what lives inside of you. Amen. True biblical joy is what God calls us to be. And it is a joy that endures forever. Whether you're on a mountaintop or whether you're stuck in the miry clay, just remember that joy comes from the Lord. And if you want to have a joyous season, if you want to really know what true joy is in your life, just look to the Father. Just look to the Messiah. Just look to the Savior. Just look to Him and ask Him to be the Lord of your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning that does not know that joy in their heart, Lord, just let them come right now and just give their life to You. Lord, we just praise You. We honor You. We thank You. Lord, I thank You for saving me and forgiving me. Lord, thank You for that. And thank You for the joy and the peace that You've given me. And I look so forward to seeing You face to face. Lord, it says in Your Word that even the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. There's joy in the presence of the angels. Joy. Lord, Your Word also says, as it is in heaven, it should be here on earth. Let that joy be here this morning. Let Your Holy Spirit fall and fill us today. Let us not leave here without joy in our heart. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.